Our scripture reading today comes from Deuteronomy chapter 11. I'll begin reading with verse 26. We're talking about God's wisdom. We all know that we need it, and here's the really good news. The Bible is filled with it. If I'm going to preach on fresh wisdom for the new year, for the next 4, 5, 6 weeks, I have plenty of material. There's a whole book full of wisdom, of how we get it, of what we do with it, and how God bestows it upon us. Today we're going to look at something that you find in wisdom literature throughout, and that is the two ways. The two ways is a theme that runs throughout the Bible. The way of blessing, the way of curse. The way of following God, the way of turning away from God. There's only two ways. There's not a bunch of ways. There are just two ways. And those two ways are evident in Scripture. So we're going to read Deuteronomy chapter 11. And if you read through Deuteronomy, you'll find this theme keeps recurring over and over again. It is about the people of Israel, when they came into the land that God promised them, that they were going to have a responsive reading. There were going to be half of the people on Mount Gerizim and half of the people on Mount Ebal. And this group was going to give the blessing, and this group was going to give the curses. And it was going to be a reminder of the two ways. So please follow along as I read Deuteronomy 11, verse 26. Moses said, speaking the word of the Lord, "See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I'm giving you today. The curse, if you disobey the commands of the Lord your God and turn from the way that I command you today by following other gods which you've not known. When the Lord your God has brought you into the land you are entering to possess, you are to proclaim on Mount Gerizim the blessings and on Mount Ebal the curses. As you know, these mountains are across the Jordan westward toward the setting sun, near the great trees of Moreh, in the territory of those Canaanites living in the Arabah in the vicinity of Gilgal. You are about to cross the Jordan to enter and take possess of the land the Lord your God is giving you. When you have taken it over and are living there, be sure that you obey all the decrees and laws I am setting before you today." If you go to later on in Deuteronomy, you'll see this acted out. And half of the people on Mount Gerizim and half of it on Mount Ebal. And the words reverberating across the valley from one another. If you go to Deuteronomy chapter 30, you will read again the words of Moses where he takes it and makes it even more intense. And he tells them to choose life. But it's not just in Deuteronomy, not just in the Old Testament that you find it, but in the New Testament, the words of Jesus. Think about what Jesus said. Jesus always talked about the two ways. He talked about people and building a house. I mean, that's something that is about as common as it can be. Maybe not building the house, but having a house. Where do you build a house? He talked about people who build a house on a sandy riverbed. If you don't have much experience, if you don't listen to people who know, I mean, the best place in the world to build your house is on the sand at the bottom of a riverbed, walls on each side to protect you from the wind until there's a rain and the water rushes through and just wipes the house away. So he said, don't be foolish by building your house on the sand, but build your house on the rock. Jesus, remember, talked about there's a wide gate, easy to enter. But don't take that gate. Take the narrow gate. Not many people go through the narrow gate, but take the narrow gate. Those are the two ways. You got two ways you can build a house. You got two ways you can make a journey. Jesus said, no one can serve two masters. You're going to either serve one or the other. You may want to think you can do half one and half the other, but that is the wrong way to do it. No one can serve two masters. Either you're going to love the one, hate the other, or you're going to hate the one and love the other. But no one can serve two masters. This idea in the wisdom literature goes throughout the scripture of having two ways. I often think about church, obviously. Think a whole lot about church. You ever think, why is it important to go to church? Why did he give us a week? God set that up. Everything else fits around the moon or the sun, but a week doesn't do that. God gave us the week. God gave us 7 days. Why did God do that? Well, he never tells us, but I think it is because about every 7 days I need a restart. About every 7 days I need to remember what matters. About every 7 days I need to think about things other than what I'm doing today, right now. I need about every day to get my mind and my arms around knowing that there's a world out there of 7 or 8 billion people who need to know about God, and I don't need to be thinking about my little selfish ways. So I want to ask you today to think with me about the two ways and about choosing the way of blessing. Now, I think about church a lot, but I also think about children and teenagers a lot. I think about young adults a lot. And I was so encouraged last week. I told you about it on Sunday. I was so encouraged last week when I read that the 20-somethings and the early 30-year-olds, basically the millennial generation, that one of their goals for this new year is to draw closer to God. I take that as a very encouraging thing. And so I think about children and teenagers and young adults, and I want to ask you to think about the two ways and apply those two ways to your life right now, what you're going through, but to think about more than today and what's going to happen today, or more than Tuesday when you go back to school, or things of that nature, but that you think about God. So when you take all of these passages that I've looked at and that we've talked about, what do they say? What's the common denominator? What are the things that they have in common? Well, let me give you four of them. And I think these four will encompass the things that we read in the wisdom literature. What does it say to us? Four things. Number one, choose well, or choose wisely, or choose based on what the one who created you encourages you to do. So important to remember that there's a God in heaven who created the heavens and the earth. I got an article this week sent by one of our deacons, and he sent it to me, and he said, you know, one of the things that scientists don't know is, where did water come from? And how did we get water? Because obviously we can't live without it. And where did it come from? So scientists speculate there were all these asteroids, all of these icy asteroids that slammed into the earth and left the water behind. They just wonder, why didn't Mars get that? And it's obviously very complicated. But it reminded me, when the flood came, by the way, they think they found on Mars oceans under the surface, way under the surface. And many scientists think they're oceans, it's bigger than me, under the surface of the earth. What does that tell us? Well, it tells me there's a great God who created the heavens and the earth. There is a God who is bigger than all of us. There is a God, as we sang, who can do all things and who can do great things and does great things and knows us and knows each one of us of this 8 billion people and cares for every one of us and has a plan for your life and wants to do good things and wants you to have the blessings and not the curses. So choose well and choose wisely. That's why you have Deuteronomy 11, and it's why you have Deuteronomy 30, and it's why you read about the house built on the rock. It's why you read about the narrow way. It's why you read, no one can serve two masters, because Jesus wanted us to choose well, and God the Father wants us to choose well. We all need to remember that your life, your future, will be defined by your choices. And here's the thing it's important for us to understand. The earlier you choose, that's why if you're 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, man, what a great time this is. Choose life. Choose now. The earlier you choose and the more determined you are to live your life for God, the better your life is going to be. I think anybody who listens to me preach just a few times know I love my family so deeply. We have two daughters, and both of them played high school tennis, and if I ever missed a match, I can't remember. Somebody probably had to have died for that to happen, because I just rearranged my schedule and loved it, and I love my grandsons and what they do and playing sports, and I love being there. But here's what I told my daughters. Life is going to be difficult. I mean, isn't that the truth? There's all kind of difficulty in life. If you're 10 years old, there's enough difficulty to fill up an ocean, it feels like. All kinds of struggles and pain. And by the time I was telling them this as teenagers, they had had enough experience and they'd had enough to see of our life to know that, yeah, there are a lot of ups and downs in life. And those were just the ones we let them see, because there are all kinds of things we weren't going to share with them at that age at an inappropriate time. Our youngest daughter said, till I was about 18, you never let us know that there were any difficulties in the church. And then I got 18 and you thought I was grown up, and then I thought there was nothing but difficulties in the church. Well, here's what I said to them. Life will not always be easy, and not everything will go the way you want it to go. Some of you have heard me say this before. I want to say it a lot of times. But if you will live your life for God, if you will choose the way of the blessings, if you will let Holy Scripture be your guide, if you will pray and seek God and turn your way over to Him, you will give yourself the chance to live the best life possible. Choose well. Choose early. be determined to live for God. Second common denominator is establish a strong foundation. That's the whole point about the house built on the sand and the house built on the rock. And while we all can identify with building a house, and because we can all see a house being swept away by the waters, because we know something about floods in South Louisiana, because we can all see that, we think about the house. But Jesus was not talking about a physical house, four walls. He was talking about a life and about the foundation of your life. What are you going to build it on? And the whole idea of building it on the rock. One of my life verses is, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. That's what God wants us to have, a foundation that is built on Him. That takes us away from our selfishness and thinking about self. But rather, we give it to Him and we let Him be in control. And that doesn't matter if you're 9 or 90. All of us need to do the same thing. We need to let Him be in control. And we need to let everything be based on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, the foundation of our lives. Because storms do come. And illnesses and pain and accidents, those things come. And it is amazing how God works through them. I want you to read on the screen this quote from a Christian college president. I grew up as a broken-hearted kid from an impoverished, uneducated family living in a very dark neighborhood in a tiny little town. Now, maybe none of that is true about you, but it was true about him. But he went on to talk about the goodness of God, about having established a foundation that depended on God. And while you may not have those things that you can say, you got plenty of trouble and you got plenty of storms. Establish a strong foundation. Number three, don't take the easy way. Now, you really got to make some decisions not to take the easy way, because we're kind of wired to take the easy way. We're kind of set up to do things easy and quick. And why do we all deal with impatience and frustration if it's not because we want things to be easy and we want it to work out? But what Jesus said when he talked about the broad gate and many people who take that way, and the narrow gate and the few people who follow that way, what he was talking about is how we are always tempted to take the wrong way, how we're always tempted to go the easy route rather than the difficult route. Now, here's the point. When you get to the end of life, it's always better to have taken the hard way. It's always better to have chosen the blessings. It's always better to follow the paths of God, even though there are all kinds of people around you looking at you like you've lost your mind because you go to church every Sunday morning, because you give offerings to God in God's work, because you read the Bible, because you pray, because you are devoted, because you don't do all the things that the world does. You've always got people who are driving you in the other direction. It's so hard to hate, to take the hard way. Years ago, back in the days of David Letterman, and some of you don't even know who David Letterman was, but late night, he would have a top 10 list. And it would be hilarious of top 10 things. So I got to thinking about that, and I put together my top 10 sayings, favorite sayings. And so I was scared to death to do it, because it's so different for a sermon. So I just went from number 10 to number 1. Well, man, it resonated with people. And I found that old sermon 2 or 3 weeks ago. And I don't preach old sermons, but I may brag that one out sometime and try it again. Number 10 on my list, the first thing that I said was a quotation from Mark Twain. If you have to swallow a frog, don't think about it very long. If you have to swallow 2 frogs, don't swallow the little one first. And at our house, we often talk about swallowing a frog. I mean, you have to do it to keep yourself from procrastinating, because we'll always do the little things, the insignificant things, the easy things, instead of doing the things that really matter and that have to be done. So we talk about we need to swallow that frog and we need to do something about it. Don't take the easy way. If you go to Deuteronomy chapter 30, and I hope you will do that, and read what is said in this, right in the middle of it, when he's talking about blessings and curses, when he's talking about obeying God and following the ways of God, and God saying, I want to bless you, because the whole point of all this is God wants to bless you. He doesn't want you to have the curses. He wants you to have the blessings. A life lived apart from God will bring on plenty of its own curses. But a life lived for God will tremendously bring on wonderful blessings. So God says to the people of Israel, choose life. And you look at that, and it's another one of those things. Why did God say that? Doesn't everyone choose life? Well, no, they don't. And especially the way God talks about it. So why is it so hard for people to choose life? And here's a verse I would encourage you to mark down or circle on your sermon sheet or something, because you need to look at this and you need to consider what it says. It's Paul writing to the church at Corinth. Here's what he says. The God of this age, he's not talking about the God who created you and me. He is not talking about the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is not talking about the God who called Abraham from Ur of the Chaldees and created a people. Remember, there were no Jews until there was Abraham. He created a people for himself, and the purpose of those people was to be a light unto the Gentiles, so all of the world may know God, may experience him, may be in the presence of God, because God created us for himself, to live with him forever, for peace and love and joy, for hope, for comfort, for guidance. God created us in these ways. But here's what Paul says, the God of this age, Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And so you wondered, how could anyone turn away from the image of God? How could anyone turn away from the glory of Christ? How could anyone turn away from the light of the gospel? It's because the prince of the power of the air It's because the God of this age has blinded the eyes of unbelievers. Don't take the easy way, but take the difficult road and make choices that please God and ultimately, but immediately, will be a blessing unto you. The fourth common denominator is that you should seek the favor of God. This is the whole idea, that you seek the favor of God. That's the whole reason for blessings and curses. God says, I want to bless you. God says, I want to do good things in your life. God says, I want to be there for you. Seek the favor of God. Go to Him in prayer. Read the Word. Pray Scripture. Follow the plan of God for your life. There will be every kind of temptation to turn away, and the God of this age will do His best to blind your eyes. So it's imperative for us to seek the favor of God, to ask God's blessings upon us, and to submit our lives unto Him, letting Him be our Lord and our Master. And if you seek the favor of God, then there will be things in your life that will bless you over and over and over again. And even if you're 20-something and you look back, you will see God directing you, leading you, showing you the path. I love the words of Isaiah. The prophet says that the day will come when you come to, when you go to the right or to the left, you're walking with God. God will come alongside of you, kind of pat you on the back and say, this is the way, walk in it. And God wants us to come to Him and say, God, show me the way. And if you will show me the way, I will walk in it. And those things will bring blessing to you over and over and over again. There are also things that if you don't walk in the way and you do your own thing and live your own way and follow the God of this age, you will find all kinds of things that will put you in constant hurt and pain and disappointment in life. Seek the favor of God. How do you do that? You do it very simply. Anytime I talk with someone about how to come to faith in Christ, and I will take several minutes and kind of walk them through it, and almost every time somebody will say, that's so simple. Like, if it's so simple, can it work? Well, God made it simple, and it is simple. And it is simply this, that we submit to Him. God, I want my life to be your life. And I want to give it unto you. And I want to seek to follow you every day. All kind of people here today. That I can say it this way, and everybody will think I know what's going on in your life, and I know exactly what's happening to you. There are many, many people right now who are in the throes of making a major life decision, and they're wondering what to do. And maybe a whole lot of people here are reading Scripture and praying and asking for God's favor and God's direction. To find the favor of God, we submit unto Him. We submit our lives to Him in a basic way, like I did when I was 9 years old, when I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and God's Spirit came to live within me. And as I've said about my life, I have never been alone because God has been with me. That's the basic decision. I want to appeal to you. Paul said it this way, I urge you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to receive him into your life. And I want to urge you in the same way. Here's the way it is. Too much is at stake. Too much is at stake for me not to urge you to submit your life to Christ and to follow him. And in just a moment, I'm going to pray and we're going to stand and the music is going to begin. And I'm going to encourage you to walk to the front and find one of the pastors who is here and let them and our counselors help you as you submit your life unto the Lord. Too much is at stake not to do that. And I want to ask the rest of you to leave here today to say, I want to give my life to God, and I want God in my life, and I want to choose well. Maybe you would come here to pray or pray with the pastor just about those decisions you have to make. Let's pray together. God, thank you for this emphasis throughout Scripture of the two ways. But God, it's not enough to know that there are two ways. God, we need to choose, and we need to choose your way. So would you speak to all of our hearts by the power of your Spirit and draw us to those decisions and that life that you want us to live. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.